Hi, this is Mimi Sheraton, author of 1,000 Foods to Eat Before You Die, and you are listening to Radio Cherry Bomb.
Hi, everybody. This is Carrie Diamond. No, it's not. I'm kidding. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Radio Cherry Bomb. I am Jane Larkworthy, writer and founder of a food blog called The Fraudulent Chef. And I am lucky enough to be filling in for our host, Carrie Diamond, who is on tour for the Cherry Bomb Cookbook. She will be in Indianapolis tonight at Printex, the periodical shop, interviewing Martha Hoover, the restaurant and philanthropist. The event is free and open to the public and begins at 6 p.m. Speaking of the book tour, I just got back from the California leg of the book tour, and Allie was there too. Allie's in the studio with us, but she doesn't have headphones on, so I'll do the talking for her. But boy, what a whirlwind. I joined it the day before the Jubilee, which was the first Jubilee in San Francisco, and it was at the Palace of Fine Arts, and everyone obviously knows what's going on with the Sonoma fires. So there was a very intense, somewhat sad, yet vibe, but everyone really came together. And we had speakers from Miracle Plum at the Jubilee telling us where we could donate. And it just really had this very supportive, encouraging vibe. And it was an honor to be there. So Alice Waters was the keynote speaker. And Tracy Desjardins was there, and Dominique Crenn, and Liz Pruitt, and I could go on and on and on. But it was, and me, so I was so happy to be there. And then we went to L.A., and we had an event at Kismet with Sarah and Sarah, who cooked delicious food. And it was almost like a speed dating event, because everyone just got to meet everyone else while we dined on their delicious food. And then Carrie and did a panel with, I'm totally spacing on who she did it with. I'm not going to say the names, but she did this great panel at Barnes & Noble at the Grove. And now she is in Indianapolis, as you know. So let's first thank our sponsors. This season of Radio Cherry Bomb is presented by Le Cordon Bleu. Le Cordon Bleu, the legendary culinary school, has locations around the globe, from Paris to London to Ottawa. The schools have a wide array of programs available, from 9-month classical culinary training programs all the way to bachelor and master's degrees. Visit cordonbleu.edu for more. Castor and Pollux. Castor and Pollux is the maker of the brand new purposeful pet food line, Pristine. A lot of Bomb Squad members, including myself, are proud pet parents. So you'll want to know about this grain-free line made with responsibly sourced ingredients. Visit purposefulpetfood.com for more. Make sure to tag your Instagram pup photos with hashtag CherryBombPets for a chance to win a year's worth of pristine food for your pet. My very own standard poodle, Remy, has proudly been on the Cherry Bomb Insta handle. I was scrolling back to find the dates that she was on, but I was on the subway and I kept losing Wi-Fi. So anyway, I'm a proud pet owner. And say bonjour to the brand new Le Creuset cookbook out this week. If you're a fan of the French cookware line, and who isn't, you'll love all the classic French recipes and techniques in this book. Visit lecreuset.com for more. I love French cooking, so I am very excited about this cookbook. But let's get to the guest. We are thrilled to have Kalu Henry on the show today. Kalu is a writer, recipe developer, and occasional PR maven. She started her career working in fashion and lifestyle PR world, but found herself drawn to food, wine, and restaurants. She went on to spend 6 years representing high-profile chefs like Marcus Samuelson, Kurt Guttenbrunner, and Scott Conant, then eventually followed her passion for Pinot Noir to Oregon, where she helped spearhead PR for the Oregon Wine Board. A whole lot of wine later, Kalu joined Bon Appetit, first as the director of PR and eventually becoming the director of special projects. She has also worked with the actor Kyle MacLachlan, Hubba Hubba, doing PR for his Bordeaux-inspired Cabernet Pursued by Bear from Walla Walla, Washington. Kalu is an international judge for the Argentine Wine Awards in Mendoza. She has completed Fine Cooking 1 at the Institute of Culinary Education. Her writing has appeared in publications such as Afar, Refinery 29, Cooking Light, Cherry Bomb, Lenny, Bon Appetit, and Wine Enthusiast. Her first book, Back Pocket Pasta, was published by Clarkson Potter in spring 2017. I am happy to report that we are giving away a signed copy of Back Pocket Pasta. I was waiting for Dave to chime in, literally. Go to at Cherry Bomb Mag and leave a comment for your chance to win. Kalu Henry, welcome to Radio Cherry Bomb.
Thank you, Jane. It's so nice to be here.
So happy to have you for my maiden hosting voice.
Me too.
If Carrie thinks I'm ever giving this position back, she's got another thing coming. So let's start with the basics. You have such an exotic name. What's the derivation of Kalu?
So my given name is Maria Nicola. It was my great-grandmother's name. And they came over from Italy at the turn of the century, like many others. And my great-grandfather nicknamed her Nicolucha. And somehow along the way, I got shortened to Kalu. So when I was born, my parents named me Maria Nicola, but have always called me Kalu.
Oh, sweet. Yeah. So it has nothing to do with Kalu-a?
No, but I get that all the time. Different people want to know, you know, Hawaiian name, French name, but it's an Italian nickname.
I think before I met you, I wasn't sure where you put the accent.
Yeah.
In other words, yeah, I think I might have thought it was Kalu.
Yeah, which happens. I'll take whatever, you know.
Tomato, tomato.
Easy. Yeah.
Right? So let's talk about your career trajectory.
Sure.
I called it trajectory earlier. When I first met you, you were at Bon App, but how did you get into PR? How did you get to New York?
Yeah. So
where are you from?
So I was born in the city, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I was born in the West Village, right on the park there.
That's where you're so cool.
And I was raised in the suburbs, but I went to school in Boston to Emerson College, and I majored in musical theater and knew that I was bound for New York as soon as graduation was over because I wanted to be a cabaret singer. And so I...
Did you have an idol growing up? Like, was there someone you... Did you want to be Liza Minnelli? Did you want to be...
Well, you know, it was sort of... I started doing, like, straightforward musical theater, so Anything Goes, sort
Who'd
of
you
the,
play in Anything Goes?
I understudied as a freshman for Hope Harpcourt.
I played Hope Harpcourt.
You did?
In high
course.
School.
Yep. That's what I... It was my freshman year of high school. I love that show more than anything
else.
Yeah,
it's else. A great show.
But then in college, sort of through the process, found that cabaret and, like, talking and having this, you know, vibe with the audience and a one-woman show was sort of more my jam. So did that, but was working in restaurants all through college, and then also when I moved to New York, and a friend of mine said to me, you know, you should really get into PR, because I was meeting all these people at the bar, and I was sort of, like, looking for the next step, because, you know, being an artist doesn't really pay. Neither does being a PR person, really, but...
It's easier
on the vocal cords. So I took a job interning at a company called Full Picture. Which was run by Desiree Gruber, who's married to Kyle MacLachlan.
Right.
And I was an intern. And I was a late-in-life intern. I was about 25, 26. And I remember walking to Desiree's office at one point just saying, I want to be a full-time employee. And somehow she listened to me, and I got hired there. So I was working with a bunch of Luca Luca. I don't remember Luca Luca, the fashion brand, sort of backstage PR, working on Victoria's Secret and a number of, you know, some beauty and lifestyle products. But food had always been this sort of really passionate thing for me. I grew up in a very Italian-centric family. We had pasta a number of times a week, which I'm sure we'll talk about later.
Mm-hmm.
And I took a food writing class and ended up doing chef PR, so working with the chefs that you talked about before, and really learning how to write tasting notes and how to write recipes and sort of, you know, broadening the scope of work in that way. So,
where did you take the chef PR class?
I took it at Media Bistro.
Oh my gosh, that's what I was going to guess.
This is back in like 2005.
Okay.
So a long time ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
So did you do food at Full Picture or did you?
So
on?
I left Full Picture and I went to work with Phil Baltz at Baltz
&
Company.
Sure.
And was there for about 3 years and then ended up back at Full Picture. They were running a lot more hospitality accounts, so they asked me to come back. And I did that for about 3 years. And then I decided to go out on my own. And Kyle's married to Desiree and we had a great camaraderie. So I said, Desiree, I want to work with your husband and help him do wine PR. And she was like, go for it. So I did, and I worked on my own for a couple of years.
So I'm sorry to interrupt. Does Kyle own a vineyard?
So he is from Washington, and he makes a wine out of Walla Walla. So it's called Pursued by Bear. It's a Bordeaux-inspired Cabernet. He also has Baby Bear, which is a Syrah, and he just launched a rosé, I think, last spring.
Polar Bear.
Yeah. He's a wonderful man. He's been to Heritage, actually. He did a radio promo.
He's the best. I've met him through her. He's
Very
nice.
Yep. Yeah. So
that's
yeah.
all Dave talks about is yeah. me and Kyle do this and me yeah. and Kyle do that.
I'd love to talk to him about the new Twin Peaks if you could hook that up.
Yeah, no problem. Let me get back to you
Great,
on that,
thanks.
Dave. So yeah, so that's what okay. happened. And then the Oregon Wine Board came a knocking, and my husband and I had, you know, always were curious about living on the West Coast, and I was really wanting to learn more about wine. So we picked up and we moved, and we were there not a long time. I'm an East Coast girl, it turns mm-hmm. out, at heart. Mm-hmm. Was missing New York, and it was the same time that Bon Appetit was about to go through this big relaunch. And
before we get to Bon Appetit,
oh, yeah.
back to wine, mm-hmm. just for our yeah. listeners who want to learn more about wine.
Yeah.
Marissa Ross was one of the people on the Cherry yep. Bomb panel at Barnes & Noble. And I'm very intimidated by wine. I don't know the first thing about it. My husband's quite into it, but it's kind of like calculus. Like, I'm not even mm-hmm. going to understand it, so just I'll have what you're having.
Sure.
Now, so when you started working for Kyle, how educated were you, or did you educate yourself in that category too?
Myself. I felt like I had come to a place with food that I was comfortable in terms of, you know, mm-hmm. you know, I knew what I was talking about,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
I've been surrounded by it. I've been working in it, but wine was sort of the next part of my education. So,
did you go back to school?
I did take a couple of classes in Oregon. It was like a WSET class where you have to go through all this certification. I didn't take it all the way to the end because I'm a bad student, but I did learn a lot. And a lot of my friends are all in the wine industry, so I sort of absorb a lot from them.
Yep.
John Bonnet, who used to be the wine editor at the Chronicle in San Francisco and works a lot with Punch, has a new book coming out actually called The New Wine Rules. And I looked at a galley copy yesterday, and it's so helpful actually for anyone that wants
thanks.
To learn about wine.
Okay.
Yeah.
That and Marissa's book.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
And I think I'm set.
Yeah, you'll be great. You'll be teaching me things.
This is the way you hold the glass.
That's right.
This is the way you chug
this
it.
This is where you swirl, smell. You,
exactly. Oh, actually,
yeah.
That reminds me. So we had dinner, Carrie and Jean Godfrey June and Christian McCullough and I had dinner after the Grove, and we had it at Osteria Mata,
mm-hmm.
Nancy Silverton's
yeah.
new place, and we had our first bottle of wine, and then we started our second, and the sommelier brought wine glasses over, and there was a little pinch mm-hmm. of wine at the bottom of each glass.
Yes.
You're familiar with that.
Yeah, they're seasoning the glass for you to taste.
I had to interrupt our conversation. Not that I was saying our glasses are dirty.
Yeah.
But I needed to be educated about that.
Yeah.
And she explained what you said. Mm-hmm. I'd never seen that before.
Yeah. That's fun.
Not that I dine out a lot, but I dine out enough that I had never seen that before. So
fair enough.
Anyway, so Bon Appetit.
Yeah.
That little pamphlet.
Little pamphlet that they run. Yeah, so I started working there. So I was living in Oregon, and
How did you...
Well, you know, I had worked with them when I was at Full Picture,
okay.
just through
Great.
Different events and when I was working with Kyle. I was friendly with the head of PR there, and she was looking for a number two and contacted me right when we had decided to move back to New York. So everything was very...
Aligned.
Yeah, I've been very, very lucky. So I met with everyone on the team there. I was interviewed, you know, a number of times, and I got hired, and it was such a amazing and, you know, exciting.
Great time to
really
be there.
Really good time to be there. It was right after the Gwyneth cover had dropped, so it was mm-hmm. like issue two under Adam's, like, sort of full Adam Rappaport's editor-in-chief.
Yeah. We love Adam.
We love Adam. And it was just, like, a fun time to be there. I think it was, you know, they did such a great job of merging all of these different passion points mm-hmm. for everyone, you know, mm-hmm. art and culture and fashion, and under this one umbrella, which is food, which we're also passionate about as mm-hmm. well. It's something we all sort of, you know, need and want and all that jazz, so...
And making it accessible and answering questions that we didn't even know we had.
Absolutely.
And it was really chic and it was fashion-y. Yeah. I mean, it still is,
yeah.
obviously. So,
yeah,
yeah, I always look forward to my issue.
Me too. It's
okay.
They do such a beautiful job.
All right. So so you were at Bon App for how long?
Almost 4 years.
Okay.
So I was
It's a good run.
It was a good run. Yeah. I was the director of PR, and then I moved over to special projects.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time had started this hashtag on Instagram, Back Pocket Pasta.
Did you basically just Instagram, you called it Back Pocket because you pulled it out of your pocket,
mm-hmm.
right? And
did
you just start shooting your meals the way we all kind of shoot our food?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
I think that it was also at a time Instagram hadn't really peaked quite yet. Now it's like on a whole nother level, which is, I can't even
right.
comprehend all of it all the time. I still love it. But yeah, so I started hashtagging it and taking photos of my food. And a friend of mine said, you should write a cookbook. And I was like, light bulbs went off. And I was like, I should write a cookbook.
And isn't it great how you're empowered when someone says that?
Like someone's like, do something. And I said, I am going to do that. it feels good, you know? So yeah, many stars aligned again. And I got a
one conversation led to another.
One conversation led to another, which I'm a big fan of. Yep. If people are looking for, we'll get to that.
Yep.
But yeah, many things led to other things. And I got a cookbook deal with Clarkson Potter.
Great.
Which was, so the book came out in February, end of February.
Now, before I forget, I was asked by my friend Josh Meyer, who I hope is listening. He's a perfumer in Seattle. He wanted to know what were your top fives.
Yeah.
Or what are your top five recipes?
Absolutely.
And I hope one of them is radicchio with gorgonzola and walnuts, because I've made it at least five times.
Yay. I'm so glad. I do love that one. Let's count that as number one.
Okay. Yay.
That's Jane's favorite. I also love the ala vodka with andouille, because it's just a fun...
Because I'm tight. What's andouille?
Andouille is a spicy spreadable sausage from Calabria. So it goes into the base of the sauce, and just melts away. So it just leaves this like porky, spicy flavor. But it doesn't change the texture of the sauce.
Nice.
And it's a classic ala vodka sauce from there. So it's just a nice sort of fun twist on an American classic. I love making pasta with clams. It's sort of my favorite
Is that your comfort food?
It is my comfort food. Mm-hmm. It is my comfort food. Mm-hmm. Anytime I can get anything with clams on it, I'm pizza, pasta, all of it. The Alfredo recipe is really special. It was given to me by Carla Lolly Music, who's the food director at VA.
Oh, sure. I love her.
Yeah, she's the most wonderful. Our families are from the same part of Italy, so we have a lot. We have a lot of connectivity.
Runs deep.
Yes. So, which is kind of fun because people always think that Alfredo has cream in it, and it doesn't. It's really just an emulsification of butter and cheese and pasta water. So it's really simple and straightforward. So that's another one. And the BLT pasta, which is just a kind of a fun take on BLT.
Yeah, that's a good one. Mm-hmm. When I asked about that sausage, I was sitting here thinking, well, I've just shown my true colors with all our listeners that I am really not a food writer.
Yes, you are. You know, please.
Dipping the toe.
You're doing great.
Besides, it's about you. so we have to go take a break in a few minutes, but let's just talk about what do you wish you had known getting into doing this book that no one told you? I think a lot of people don't realize, first of all, there is such a wave of cookbooks out now, which is great.
Yeah,
like,
it's amazing.
So many of them were at the Jubilee.
Yeah.
But the touring and the publicity, and it's a lot of work.
Yes.
You have to love it.
Absolutely. I think really going in knowing that this is not going to be just a 2-year project. It has a much longer shelf life than that. And it has different stages. You know, I think there's like kind of a lonely stage when you're writing it because you are by yourself. You know, you're sitting in a room, you're writing these recipes, then you're testing these recipes, and it can be a bit isolating.
Did you have a recipe tester?
I did. I had a recipe tester. And so I made them, she made them, other people made them, then we made them on set, and things still continue to, you know, change.
Right.
And then just really knowing that it's something you have to commit to for a really long time. It's, you know, I am now 8 months or so into the launch, and I have to love something. I think you need to commit to it. You know, I think if you're going to write about something, you really, really have to love it, because it's going to continue to go on past, you know, you might get tired of it, but you got to just keep giving it that energy. And I think that that's an important thing to sort of know going into the process.
Do you find yourself before you have an event cooking something, you know, the day of, so you can like get back into it? Is that a really silly question?
No, it's not. It's not a silly question. I have a class on Saturday in Hillsdale I'm teaching, and I need to go back and look at those recipes again. It's been a long time. You know, I don't make pasta as frequently right now because I made it so much during the process. So just as a reference, yeah, for sure. You know?
Do you ever use other types of pasta? In other words, like brown rice pasta or...
I don't. If I choose not
to shake
use... I'll zoodle. I will use a zucchini noodle occasionally.
Ellie's nodding her head. She knows what a zoodle is. I had no idea.
But I don't... I've heard that the chickpea pasta bonza is great. I haven't tried it myself. I'm kind of a purist. Like, if I'm going to go that way, I'm going to go. If not, then I'll just go veg.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we have one more minute. You're giving me time. Okay. Tell us about the class in Hillsdale.
Oh yeah. So it's at, right across from the Hillsdale General Store. They have a beautiful, kitchen store.
Hillsdale is literally mm-hmm. a cross on the road with one traffic light. So yeah. you will find it, yeah. folks,
it's
if you're up there.
Big pink building. You can't miss it. It starts at 11 o'clock on Saturday. There's a ticket link in my profile, and we're making a bunch of back pocket pastas with seasonal produce on Saturday, and it should be fun.
Oh, excellent, excellent. Maybe I'll go.
I would love that.
Yeah. So Kalu and I are neighbors upstate. I was going to get into that after the break, too. So can I get into the break? Okay, we're going to take a break, and we will be right back with Kalu Henry.
Le Cordon Bleu, the renowned culinary school, was founded in Paris 122 years ago by a young journalist named Mademoiselle d'Estelle. In 1895, she launched the first weekly culinary magazine called La Cuisinière Le Cordon Bleu. She invited subscribers to take part in free cooking lessons with the chefs featured in her magazine. And from there, the school was born. In the years since, Le Cordon Bleu's world-class instructors have taught French classical culinary techniques to everyone from home enthusiasts to food world legends. If you've dreamt of attending culinary school, maybe it's time to quit that boring corporate job and check out one of Le Cordon Bleu's 35 locations around the world. Or add a short workshop or weekend program at one of its schools to your next vacation. Visit cordonbleu.edu for course descriptions, dates, and online registration. It's all possible at Le Cordon Bleu.
Hey there, Bomb Squad. This is Donna Yen from Team Cherry Bomb. My dog Teddy is a regular at Cherry Bomb HQ, and I care about where his food comes from just as I do my own. That's why Teddy and I are excited about Pristine, the only complete line of pet food made with responsibly sourced ingredients. Castor and Pollock's new line of pet food is made with ingredients like grass-fed beef and wild-caught salmon. I love that they care about Teddy as much as I do, and as for Teddy, he gives it two paws up.
You've seen all the articles about how to dress like a French girl or French girl beauty secrets. I want to know how to cook like a French girl. You too, right? Be sure to check out the new Le Creuset cookbook from the much coveted French cookware line. You'll find recipes for everything from croque madame to boeuf bourguignon, plus French cooking techniques. Stop by select Le Creuset stores this Saturday, October 21st, to celebrate the launch of the book with demos and a chance to win a Le Creuset Dutch oven and the ultimate French feast gift basket. Check lecreuset.com for more. Okay, we are back with Kalu Henry, the author of Back Pocket Pasta. Now, I had my first question here is why pasta? But we kind of already discussed that, but
I could talk about it all day long.
Well, we talked about your favorite recipe, so I'm going to go out on a limb here and hope that we don't run out of things to talk about, which I don't think, because there's always musical theater.
There's always musical theater.
That's what I say every day in a conversation. There's always musical theater.
Dave.
I was hoping Dave would do like a tap dancing sound or something. Is this thing on?
Yeah.
So Kalu and I met at a Bon Appetit dinner. Mm-hmm. And my husband, Bertrand, sat across from you.
Yep.
And I was very jealous. No, I'm kidding. and then next thing I knew, I didn't really talk to you that night.
No.
And next thing I knew, I was following you on Instagram, but we'd never really met.
Right.
Fast forward.
To book tour. My book tour.
Your book tour.
Yeah.
Let's just go backwards to last March. Mm-hmm. My sister-in-law and her husband live in San Francisco. And San Francisco is a mighty big town. And they live in a sort of a townhouse building that has separate apartments, only three apartments in this entire building, and a three-car garage in the basement. So it's not like it's this huge building. Anyway, we're there visiting, and my husband and his sister drive into the driveway, get out of the car, see a car next to them, it's a New York license plate, and out pops Kalu. Of all the gin joints in the world.
Right.
I mean, that was crazy.
It was so weird.
And you don't live there, nor do I.
No.
You were visiting someone.
I was visiting. I was staying at my friend Chris's dad's house because I was doing a number of events for the book. And Bertrand said, I know you. And I said, no, you don't. He's like, yes, I do.
And you're like, perhaps you read my book.
And he's like, we met at a dinner. You're driving across the country on your book tour. And then he said,
wait, he knew that
yes,
too?
Yes, he did. And he said, I'm Bertrand. And I said, Bertrand of York? Which is his Instagram handle. And he was like, yes.
Fine.
Like,
he just got more followers right. than I
He's like, oh, so, but then he said, I'm married to Jane Larkworthy and she's next door. I said, you've got to be kidding me. He's like, and then we ran over. I ran upstairs.
And he said, look who I found.
Yeah.
And I didn't recognize you.
I know. We were like, what's going on?
And then you said, I'm Kalou.
Yeah. That was honestly one of the highlights of my whole book tour. It was such a neat, like, when does that happen? You know?
Yeah.
Small
that
world.
That was a crazy, crazy fluke. And then you and I are, well, I want to talk. All right. So I'm in the Berkshires and you're just on the other, across the border in New York.
Yes.
You live in Hudson.
Correct.
You are teaching a class in Hillsdale.
Yep.
And you have a store.
In Germantown.
In Germantown.
Yes.
And if you don't know the area, guys, they're all basically
kind of
a stone's throw from each other. So tell us about the store.
Yeah. So myself and my husband, Chad, and our friends, Noah and Ray, and our friends, Dana and Tracy. So there's three couples. Decided sometime last spring when I was on tour, there's this beautiful little store called Otto's in Germantown. And Germantown's literally half a mile long. Our friends, Nick and Sarah, have Gaskin's, this really awesome restaurant up the street. And Otto's has been for sale for a couple of years. A gentleman named Otto owned it. He worked as a buyer for Whole Foods for many years, but was really looking to sort of like
Do the next thing.
And he was living on the West Coast again by this point. And anyway, long story short, we said, let's do this. So the market's been around since 1927. And it was owned by Tracy Osborne Rockefeller. He was the first owner of the Rockefellers. Who knows, like cousin once removed. I don't know. I'm sure it was not a big Rockefeller because it was like a tiny grocery store. But yeah, so I think we're the eighth owners. And it's been super fun. It's a beloved store. It's like a little country market, you know.
So was it closed and you took it over? Or
nope,
you reopened it?
Otto, we closed on Friday, June 30th, and reopened on July 1st. It never closed down.
Oh,
we
my
just,
gosh.
Yeah, we had a toast with Otto and everyone in the community, and we went right into business. So we were planning some changes in the next year or so. We're going to be, you know, really focusing on making a big push on the prepared food section and just sort of, you know, making it better. And then we've brought in local produce. We're going to be doing like a little bit of a facelift on the store this winter and just really bringing it into the next generation, but honoring what it is because it is really special to a lot of people.
And is there a restaurant element there too?
There's seating at the store right now, but we are going to be increasing that as well. Not really a restaurant, but more of like a deli. You go up, you get a sandwich, you sit down, you can, you know, grab a drink and hang out.
Okay. So. My friends and I, we're in the Berkshires every single weekend,
right.
And we talk a lot about the trailing spouse syndrome, which is basically if a couple moves up there, I mean, you and Chad have figured out because Chad is a carpenter.
Yeah.
So, but one person can get a job, but maybe the spouse can't.
Right.
And then Ellen Bennett of Headley and Bennett Aprons was also on the panel in L.A., and she, as most people know, manufactures her aprons in America, about an hour away from Los Angeles. And up in the Berkshires, and probably up where you are too, there are all these abandoned factories.
Yep.
That, you know, there's a stationary factory, you know, like cards and stuff that's near us. And they're so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, what kind of business?
Right.
Can I start?
Right.
But can someone move now that everything is online?
Exactly.
You are mobile wherever you are.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think there's a really interesting. I think a lot of people are leaving the city. Not everyone,
but like, it's an exodus.
But there's definitely a movement happening, especially with myself and a lot of my peers. I think that because, as you mentioned, everything is mobile now. You can kind of work from wherever. I'm very lucky. I can do that. My husband as well. But there's a lot of creative sort of movement happening upstate, which is really fun to see. I don't know how the people that have lived there forever feel about
it. I know.
It's sort of like
real estate prices, gentrification, all that. Yeah.
Story of New York though, too. Right. I mean, that's why we're leaving. I mean, or left because it's got too impossible to figure out how to do both. And why are you in a studio apartment? A nice one, but that you have this house upstate that, you know, at the end of the day, it just made more sense.
Were you just weekending at first?
Yeah, we were weekending at first. And we both kind of looked at each other one day and we were like, you know what? Like, this doesn't, we have a whole house here that we could be in. And, you know, I didn't have to be in the city every day anymore. He didn't have to be, his studio was here. But so we just decided to make a go for it. And it's been 2 years in December and we haven't looked back. I'm here all the time anyway, you know.
And your family's still here.
Yeah, my dad's on the Upper West Side. My mom actually moved to Poughkeepsie. So we're all in the New York area. So, you know, it's all good.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a really, I mean, I feel like the food scene up there is pretty powerful.
Yeah, it's happening. It's really exciting. There's Gaskins in Germantown. Zach Palacio has Fish and Game.
Right.
He has Back Bar. There's another restaurant that's opened in Hudson called Able. I know you guys have the Prairie Whale.
We have the Prairie Whale.
And I'm sure a bunch of others.
And Bartlett House.
Yeah, and Bartlett House, which I love.
Bartlett House, you guys, is such a funny story. It's in Ghent, and I don't know what the building was before him, but it's this gorgeous federal building, like right out of Georgetown in that.
So insane.
Or Nantucket.
Yeah.
Like the entrance is on the second floor with these like double staircase. And it was reopened by the people who own Fresh Beauty, which is my world.
Yeah.
I haven't even said what I do. You probably have no
food
idea.
And beauty.
I'm a beauty writer. I've been a beauty editor. That's how Carrie and I met years ago. She was at Women's, or I was at Jane, I think, before I went to W. So, the founders of Fresh.
It's amazing.
They always wanted to bake.
It's incredible. And they're opening a hotel in Hudson, actually.
I know.
Yeah, which is going to be beautiful.
I know. Yeah.
And I have to mention Gabby and Rachel, who own Bonfilio. They just moved across the river to Athens, but their bread is just like the best. And he's now the chef at Rivertown Tavern at the Rivertown Lodge in Hudson. There's a lot going on.
I feel like one of the bummers of life is when you buy a loaf of bread and it stinks.
Agreed. That will not happen at Bonfilio.
Okay.
It's literally the best. It's like their Filone sesame loaf. I posted a photo on Instagram 2 weeks ago of me holding it like a baby.
Like a baby.
Yeah. Cause I love it so much. It's just, yeah, my fave.
Bread is my next task to master. I was going to say.
Yeah, I'm not a baker. Succeed. I'm not.
I know.
I want to be, but it's hard.
It's all about timing, obviously. It's a much more precise science, but, and I never got into it, but Carrie, don't laugh that I'm making this a little about me. My husband got me a smoker.
Oh,
for
I
my
saw
birthday.
That.
And so, you know, we smoked meats and stuff, but I always wanted to smoke a cake.
I saw this. Go on.
So I took Bon App's Texas sheet cake recipe, and we did it. It's funny. We did it in the wintertime.
Mm-hmm.
We put the batter in its cake pan in the smoker. It was, you know, it was January, so it was like, you know, 3 degrees out, and it smoked for about 5 hours, and then we baked it, and it,
Did you get the smokiness? Was it?
The smokiness was so pervasive that some of our dinner guests thought it was a little too much.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember. No one made a cigarette joke, but some of our guests were not. I grew up in a house that had a fireplace going every day. So I wear perfume that smells like bonfire.
Where are
bonfire.
You from originally?
I'm from Long Island.
Oh, okay.
So close yet so far.
Yeah, Rockland.
I always
Long
say.
Island.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Good.
So,
we're
you know,
good.
Yeah, yeah. Took the train to the city.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But a fireplace is, you know, it's definitely part of my life. But then we tried making the cake again in the summertime when it was 80 degrees out, and it partially cooked outside in the smoker, so it was kind of lumpy. And it's an exact science.
Yeah, but I applaud you. That's ambitious. I wouldn't have had the gumption to do that. That's cool.
I have to say, I stumped Adam Rappaport.
That is a good person to stump.
We were out to dinner, and I said.
These sound effects are amazing.
I love the sound effects. Dave, you have to get like an Adam Rappaport laugh, like a vocal boomerang type of laugh. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll see what I can do.
Okay.
I can probably do that.
Yeah.
And he was like, you what?
Yeah.
You what? And I said, don't you steal that.
Yeah.
I am writing that for you.
That is my story.
If you cover that. That is my story. But it's interesting. Like, I smoked soup that's not quite.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, enough about me. So the food scene. So let's go back to you and the book and cooking.
Sure.
What are the main ingredients that you're always shopping for,
so,
that you always have in your fridge or your pantry?
I
guess that's not an original question.
It is. I think it's really important to set yourself up for success. So
right.
I try to have cans of tomato tomatoes chopped whole on, you know, all
the
time.
Are you San Marzano?
I'm San Marzano.
Okay, good.
Always. Although a lot of media has come out lately about the fake San Marzanos, and the branding is so good on those cans. I don't know if you saw any of that stuff.
Like gray market?
You know the
San Marzanos?
Yeah. They're like, you know those beautiful, like super graphic cans? They're just the white. They say San Marzano on
them. Sure. Yeah,
sure. Apparently they're not really San Marzanos.
Oh, they don't have the...
They say San Marzano.
Okay.
But apparently they're not truly San Marzano tomatoes. But anyway, they're always in my pantry.
The food world is so corrupt.
So crazy. I have preserved lemons. I have beans. I have dried beans and canned beans. Mm-hmm. If I forget to soak, then I'm going to use a can. I have no problem with that. Panko breadcrumbs. I have a number of different kinds of chilies.
Always garlic?
Always garlic, always greens, any sort of wiltable green I think is great. Dandelion, escarole, spinach, any of that stuff.
Do you have a garden?
I don't.
In
we
Hudson?
Live like in Hudson proper, so
it's like the city.
It's kind of like the city. And we have so many friends that have gardens that we are gifted things. So between that and then every Saturday I go to the farmer's market in Hudson. It's like my sort of routine. So I wake up, I have my coffee, and then I just sort of go and see my farmer. So there's no real need. Mm-hmm. And maybe at some point in my life I'll do that, but I haven't done it yet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we've joined this awesome CSA that starts a winter CSA from Sparrowbush.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So that starts on November 1st and it's really special. It happens every second or every two Wednesday, every other Wednesday. And it's cool because a lot of the community does it. You go and you sort of see people and it's, you know, cold out, so things get quiet up there.
Right.
And then our friends own Suarez Brewery in Livingston, which is right down the road. So we'll go grab a beer and make a night of it up there in the upstate
crazy,
New York.
Wacky
crazy, wacky, crazy, kooky upstate New York.
Very funny.
Yep.
And garlic, obviously.
Garlic.
Oh, wait, did I already say that?
Yeah, it's fine. Sorry, garlic. Guys. Just garlic. Bring on the garlic. Yeah. I love garlic. I like fresh chilies, dry chilies. I know we talked about chilies, too. I'm trying to think what else is in my fridge. My freezer is always full of frozen stock or bones ready to be made into stock.
Mm-hmm.
I did a pig share with my dear friend Tamar Adler, who's a food writer.
Mm-hmm,
most
sure.
Incredible food writer. She's in Hudson. So we did that last year. So that's also in my freezer. I never thought I'd be a pig share person, but I am now.
Oh, it's very popular.
It's the best.
Yeah.
And still haven't gone through all the meat, which is great.
Okay, so you're all set.
I'm all set for winter. Come on up. We'll have dinner in Hudson.
I know.
Or in the Berkshire.
Kalu and I are so close that we're sort of astonished that we haven't dined together yet. And there are a lot, obviously, Ruth Reichel's up there.
Yeah.
It's
I see her at the market sometimes.
I see her at the market. She's so friendly.
I know.
I'm always starstruck, though.
Yeah, I know. I embarrassed myself with her, actually, last summer.
What did you do?
I I had written her this article in the Times came out right before her last book, My Kitchen Year.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote her this very, like, passionate email. And her assistant got right back to me. She's like, thank you so much. Like, I'll make sure Ruth mm-hmm. sees this. And I was like, oh, good. It's like, really laid it out there. And the next weekend, I saw her in Hudson across the street. And I was like, no, it's not my time. It's not my time. She hadn't responded to the email. So I'm like, I'm going to let her go. And then we went away for the month of August last summer. And we had just gotten back. And I saw her at the Hudson Farmers Market. And I was like, it is my time. I was like very excited.
You just trusted your gut.
Trusted my gut. Okay. Should not have in this case because I was like, hi, you know, how are you? It's so nice to meet you. I also have a book coming out, you know. And she was like, she was so lovely, but obviously I caught her off guard and I walked away and I burst into tears. And my husband was like, oh God, what did you do? But then I saw her at Talbot Arting, this really awesome cheese shop in town a couple months later.
Sure.
And
I know
she was just so like, you know, talking to me online. She was lovely. She's an incredible human. It wasn't my moment, Jane. It wasn't.
Did she say, did you burst into tears the last time you came up?
No, I think she just pretended the whole thing never happened, which was fine by me.
Oh my God. You are my best friend.
Yeah.
I always burst into tears after I do something that makes me feel rotten.
So dumb.
Or like, why?
Jeez.
But it is. It's like you get kind of sweaty and you get nervous and you're like, I'm going to say something to them. And if you don't get the level of reception
back.
That you're hoping to receive back,
it's just
you turn around and you can't. Yeah, yeah. I love that you admitted that.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm a very outgoing person, as are you.
Yeah.
You know, nothing really, but this really, it was a bummer. But it's okay. Tell me.
I don't have a horrible Ruth story. Like, Carrie accused me of stalking Ruth, which I did not. If anything, she did. Or she said she had mm-hmm. a friend who stalked her. But we were together when we saw her at Guido's, which is mm-hmm. this, like, gourmet grocery store up in Great Barrington, mm-hmm. where you almost, the chances are very high that you will see a celebrity in there.
Sure.
So Meryl Streep goes there yeah. apparently every Saturday morning at 8:30 with her headphones on, so she won't be approached. You know, all the more yeah, power to her.
Totally.
I can understand that.
Yeah.
We've seen Frank Langella there, Claire Danes.
Yep, she's in Hillsdale.
She's in Hillsdale.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. Laura Linney. All right, it goes on and on.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't dream of approaching them there. It's almost like it's kind of the
sanctuary.
The sanctuary. Yeah, the sacred place is Guido's. But then I saw Ruth at the farmer's market mm-hmm. in Great Barrington, and I was like, you know, I met you here, and yeah. we're friends with that. Da, da, da. And she couldn't have been nicer.
Yeah, she's lovely.
Yeah.
It was really on me, this one. Bad timing.
Oh, my God, I love that
didn't
you cried.
Execute well.
It was so funny.
Yeah, it was funny. But maybe we'll have another market run-in. I'll try again.
Well, I want to get really bold with her.
Mm-hmm.
I'm inviting her to dinner.
Yes.
And I've gotten a couple, mm-hmm. Nods of encouragement.
That's
from
great.
People who know her, and they were like, "Oh, she'd love it."
Oh my God, do it! Can I join you?
Do you want
dinner?
To?
Yeah, well, I'll be cool. I'll be cool.
We have a mutual friend. I'll just call him William because he might get mad that I'm bringing this up.
I know him.
Okay. Do you really?
Yeah.
Okay. He's like, it has to be the exact right people.
Okay, then maybe it's not me.
And, well, I will put your name through mm-hmm. the process and see if you get approval.
Yeah, fair enough.
The funny thing is one of the couples that he mentioned, he clearly doesn't know very well
yeah.
because the wife of the couple, he didn't say her name. He said her dog's name.
William. Are you listening, William?
So yeah, I mean, I think you guys would be a great
yeah.
addition. But I'm already getting nervous. I haven't even sent the email yet, and I'm already like, oh,
yeah.
God, what am I thinking?
How
about?
I'm
cocky.
Be bold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't cried about food yet.
I haven't either. I mean, actual, like, things going wrong, you mean? Or
well,
just, like...
the whole food world or about mm-hmm. making a dish. Like,
yeah.
What do you do when you do something, when something doesn't turn out right?
I mean, I think you just suck it up.
You suck it up,
yeah.
you figure it out,
you
maybe eat it anyway,
yep,
and you won't photograph it.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, and not all food that I'm making every night is going to photograph well. You know what I mean?
But in the back of your mind, are you always like, oh, there's my phone.
Yeah.
I should do it.
Yeah.
I'm an author.
It's true. It's hard. And it's also, I think, changed the landscape for how people are cooking, I think, a lot. You know,
And eating.
Yeah. People are like, oh, this will look good or these ingredients will look nice together. You know, and I think it's sort of, and they do, you know, most of the time, but you're always sort of thinking what visually is going to attract people and get people excited, which is so cuckoo, but true. Like a cassoulet is not necessarily going to look great on an iPhone because a lot of brown, you know what I mean?
Right, sure.
But I made a salad the other night with like beautiful pink radicchio and watermelon radishes. And
yum.
I knew that would look great.
And did it get a lot of likes?
Yeah, it did fairly well.
God,
yeah.
It's so.
Yeah.
I was, when I flew back last night, I was on the plane just looking for pictures from Jubilee.
Mm-hmm.
And I started scrolling through the food that I have Instagrammed.
Yeah.
And it does better than like
anything.
Beauty products.
Totally.
Yeah. It's pretty funny.
It's really interesting.
Lighting in the food.
Lighting.
So will you do another book?
Yes.
Oh, that's an affirmative answer. You know. What is it going to be?
I have a couple of ideas. I think where I've landed, it's going to also be pantry-driven, but more global, like a global pantry. That's all I can say right now.
She's being vague. She's saying global, so that doesn't really narrow it down very much.
I have to write the proposal. I've been too busy with other stuff that I need. Once this fall is, like, you know, on the decline, I'm going to dive into that process.
Okay.
Because you have to, again, what I said earlier, it's like a real commitment. You have to sort of like know for the next however many 2 years or so, this is going to be primarily what you're working on. And you have to also find other work that will complement that because, you know,
mm-hmm.
no one makes money writing books. I mean, you can, but it's hard to do. So how do you have that? We were talking earlier just sort of about piecing together income, you know, like
right,
how do you do that, you know, and also work on a creative project.
Yeah.
So, mentally preparing for that also.
Yeah. I went freelance about a year ago and mm-hmm. my pie has about 12 pieces.
Same. Yeah.
And I always forget one like, oh God, right. I forgot I'm doing that, which mm-hmm. is kind of fun. Okay. Allie just gave me the 1 minute mark, which always makes me lose my train of thought.
I had one too.
I remember my question.
Yeah.
Quickly. So
yeah.
What are the cookbooks that you educated yourself on? What are the ones that you most rely on that you love?
That's a really good question. Well, I mean, I will say reading Ruth sincerely early on with her memoirs, that
yeah.
was like a real turning point for me. I was a senior in college. It was like 1999. And I remember there was this raspberry tart. I can't remember the name of her first one. Was it Comfort Me? No, Comfort Me with Apples was the second one. Sorry.
Oh, I thought that
was,
okay.
Wait, maybe
okay.
That's the first one. I don't remember. Sorry, Ruth. But
Dave, look it up, please.
Yeah.
Thank you.
There was this raspberry tart that she talked about, and there was a recipe for her. And I was not a baker. I was bartending in a restaurant in Boston during college, and I was like, I'm going to make this tart. And I went out and bought ridiculously expensive raspberries, a tart pan, all this stuff, because I was so moved by, you know, the story around the tart.
Right, right.
So anyway, that's one of the pieces.
Okay.
But I need to think about that some more. There's a lot.
It's very emotional. That's why I love writing about food.
Me too.
TheFraudulentChef.com, everybody.
That's right.
Because I like to tell a story around it.
Totally. That's the part that gives me the most passion. Like the story behind the food or write, you know, the essay piece of it or the headnote piece of it.
Yeah.
The recipe piece is also challenge. It's, you know, it's fun, but it's like not as creative in that sense, I think.
I'd rather make people cry over my words than chopping onions. And with that note, that's it for today's show, guys. Thanks for listening. Thanks, as always, to our engineer, Dave Tatasciore, and much love to Castor and Pollux for making this season of Radio Cherry Bomb possible. If you're a devoted pet parent, be sure to check out Pristine, the only complete line of pet food made with responsibly sourced ingredients. As always, we'd like to say a big thank you to Le Cordon Bleu. Be sure to visit cordonbleu.edu for information about this legendary culinary school. If you want to master French recipes and techniques at home, check out Le Creuset Cookbook. Don't forget, Le Creuset is celebrating the cookbook launch at select stores across the country this Saturday. Speaking of cookbooks, the Cherry Bomb Cookbook National Tour is underway. Radio Cherry Bomb host Carrie Diamond will be at Printext, spell that, in Indianapolis tonight. Then the team is at Trove in Baltimore on Monday night, and they'll be in Washington, D.C. on Tuesday night with Pineapple D.C. and Salt and Sundry. Visit cherrybomb.com for more details and destinations. Thanks for listening, everybody. You are the bomb!
Hi, I'm Marie Petula. I am the owner of Union Restaurant in Pasadena and Mead & Company in downtown Los Angeles. Radio Cherry Bomb is a joint production of Cherry Bomb Magazine and the Heritage Radio Network. To subscribe or learn more about the magazine, visit cherrybomb.com. You know who I think is the bomb? Natasha Case, co-founder of Cool House. She is an innovative and inspiring woman and a leader in the food industry.
Radio Cherry Bomb is powered by Simplecast. Simplecast is a popular hosting and analytics platform that allows podcasters to easily host and publish to apps like Apple Podcasts. If you have a podcast or are looking to create your very first, check it out. Try it for free and save half off your first 3 months at simplecast.com/heritage.